The book of John, chapter 8. We continue our study tonight on a deeper knowledge of God, closeness with Jesus. John chapter 8 and verse 31. The title of the message tonight is My Disciples. Will you stand in reverence for the Word of God? Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, Most assuredly I say to you, whomever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, again, we approach your throne of grace, asking, Lord, for your guidance as we examine your word tonight. Lord, our understanding is so small, our ability is so little. But you're God. And you can fill us with your word and with your spirit and give us a new understanding such we have never had before. And Lord, that's what I pray for tonight. That we understand, Lord, by experience, what it means to be free indeed and what it means to be your disciple. Lord, we pray that your will be done in this message as well as throughout this service tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to start with a question tonight. My question to you is, are you a disciple? Amen. I heard some mumbling. I think I heard an amen. You know, when we hear the word disciple, we immediately think of the 12 disciples for some reason that followed Jesus during His personal ministry. And they were, well, 11 of them were true disciples. Judas wasn't. But I want you to understand that in the Bible, a lot of times when the Bible refers to disciples, it's talking about believers in Jesus Christ who were simply following Jesus. Now, if you're not a disciple, you should be, okay? You should be, and don't shy away from that word. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Am I perfect? No. But I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, you are My disciples if. That's a big word, isn't it? If. It's conditional. You know, and I want you to understand, again, the meaning of the word disciple is to be a student. And in the Bible days, it was a student who attached himself to his teacher and adopted that teacher's doctrine as their way of life. And that's a great definition for a disciple. I'm a learner. I'm a student of Jesus Christ. And I've adopted the teachings of Jesus Christ into my life. And I live according to His teachings. Now, again, I'm not perfect. I know you're not perfect, right? However, that's our goal. Amen? See, the idea was that student be changed by his teacher. And I've had people ask the question, well, can you be saved and not be a disciple? Well, that's a difficult question, I'll tell you. Yeah, it really is. And the reason is, I mean, you can be a not very good disciple. You can be a disciple that doesn't pursue Jesus as you should. You can be a believer. And you can have truly called upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. But I fear that there are a lot of people who don't understand the fact that true saving faith is more than a simple acknowledgement of who Jesus is. James chapter 2 verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. But even the demons believe and tremble. So just because you acknowledge God, don't think that that's your avenues of salvation. See, true faith carries the idea of a complete trust and reliance upon Jesus Christ. If you are a true disciple, a real believer, you believe that Jesus is the way. And the things that Jesus taught is the way of life for you. That's why I say it's really hard to be saved and not be a disciple. And Jesus here, He says, you are my disciples. He gives us some criteria here. And when He's saying disciple, He means a real believer. You are my disciples if you abide in my word. Now, the word abide, it means to remain or continue. It can even mean to live somewhere. And, you know, we could say, if you make my word your home, you are my disciple. What does that mean? Well, first, it means to absolutely treasure the word of God. I want you to chew on that just a moment. Absolutely treasure the Word of God. As Jesus gave this discussion, I want you to know they didn't have a Bible to relate to at that point. So they're simply hanging on every word that Jesus says and taking it to heart. Today we have the Bible. So we know what Jesus said. And that's why I say that it is being a disciple is to absolutely treasure and have a desire for the Word of God. That's one of my main goals and my main desires for Victory Missionary Baptist Church this year, is that we become a church of New Testament believers who absolutely treasure the Word of God and even demand a steady diet in the Word of God. Because there are so many places that does not exist. It has become entertainment. It has become people expecting a nice entertaining talk. I want to challenge you. Whether we're talking a Sunday school class or we're talking the preaching service here, never settle for less than the Word of God and a feast every time we gather together. I challenge you, if you're in a Bible study class, you know, on Sunday morning, if you're not, you need to get in one. But if you are, ask your teacher questions. That's encouraging. I'll just be honest with you. Take a step further. Ask him questions or ask them questions they can't answer. I know how to say I don't know. That's one of my favorite answers is I don't know, but I'll work on it. You can't be a disciple. You cannot be a disciple, a learner. Some even say an apprentice if you never do the bookwork. Think about what I just said. You can't be a disciple, an apprentice of Jesus Christ, if you do not do the bookwork. See, there are two things that are required to be a disciple of Jesus. Number one, there's the bookwork, the training. And number two, there's the application. The bookwork, we know what that is. That's you getting into the Word of God. The application is you putting into practice what you've learned from the Word of God. Failure of either of these two requirements will result in catastrophic failure of you to be a disciple. See, I go back to the days of my youth. Hadn't been that long ago when I was a young man. And I've shared with you, you know, that I was an air traffic controller. Well, I started that when I was in the Air Force. The Air Force did me a great favor. They said, sign up with us and we will make you an air traffic controller. And when you get out, you can be a controller at one of these big airports. So I said, hey, wonderful plan. First thing they did for me is they sent me to school. not regular school, basic training school, where I learned the value of marching, standing up straight, and having the lines that they expected, and folding my stuff in the chest to 6-inch squares. Everybody needs that, right? But after I got out of basic training, they sent me to air traffic control school. I don't remember, 3, 6, 4 months, however long it was. But we in that school, we studied the books. And we learned a lot of rules in that book. Things like we learned that you're supposed to keep airplanes 3 miles or 1,000 feet apart. If you don't do that, you have messed up. We studied the book and we learned things like you don't clear a small aircraft for takeoff behind a large aircraft because there are things called wake turbulence. And if that small aircraft takes off too close behind that large aircraft, the vortices that come off the wings will just take that little airplane, turn him up on his bottom. All that was interesting to learn. We learned all that book stuff, and after the required time, I got a certificate of graduation. Yes, I passed. And it was interesting when I went to, they sent me to my Air Force base, Columbus Air Force Base, Columbus, Mississippi. And when I arrived at Columbus Air Force Base, in Columbus, Mississippi, as they reviewed my record and they discovered that I had graduated air traffic control school, nobody was impressed. You know why nobody was impressed? Because I had yet to help to provide air traffic service to one airplane. Oh, I'd studied about it, and I had known the rules pretty good, but I had never told anybody cleared to land or cleared for takeoff or traffic, 2 o'clock, 3 miles. Yeah, I had not exercised that exercise at that given point. You see, up to that point, it was all theory. And what I'm telling you is, the training's wonderful. You got to spend time in the Word of God. And if you're not spending time in the Word of God through Sunday school, through church attendance and all that, you get in the Word of God. You cannot live in this life without knowing the Word of God. But you've also got to learn to apply what you know. Okay? That's part of being a disciple. You see, when I went to Columbus Air Force Base, Columbus, Mississippi, and I began to clear airplanes for takeoff and provide radar service and clearance instructions and all that, I became an air traffic controller as I learned to apply the things that I knew. Problem is, people want today, they want to know the Word of God, but we don't stop long enough to say, now how does this fit into my life? How do I apply this into my life? What does it look like? Listen, if people do not see Jesus in your life, you are not impressive as a disciple of Jesus Christ. Miss the point. Oh, you can know who the oldest man in the Bible was. But if you don't know how to tell somebody to be saved, and if you don't tell somebody how to be saved, you've missed the point of being a disciple. There's the training and there's the application. You see, I come to church every week. Why do I come to church every week? Because I am applying what I know to be true. You say, preacher, you've got to come. You're the preacher. No, I don't. Okay, I do. But anyway, it's beside the point. I come to church because the Bible says where two or three are gathered together, there I am in their midst also. And I have discovered that I can get that nowhere else on this earth other than with God's people worshiping in God's house. You see? I apply what I know. I'm told. I've studied, and the Bible says that I'm to have no other gods before God. And you know what? I have discovered the best way for me to live my life is to make God the priority of my life. Therefore, I try to put God first. I tithe. I don't make excuse. It's a tough month, Lord. And no, I tithe. Why? Because I have learned through the study of God's Word and practical application that when I tithe, God takes care of everything. And when I don't tithe, I can't make it. I'll just be honest, you know. Both ends don't meet in the middle. Point being, I get into God's Word, I apply God's Word. Or that's my common goal. And that's my challenge to you this evening. Oh, listen, it's great for you to know the Word. Get into the Word, yes. But are you applying the Word to your daily walk? That's what it means to be a disciple. And Jesus said, if you are my disciples, how did he put it? Let me go back. Then Jesus said to those Jews, if you abide in my word, that means to study it, to collect it, to learn it, and to live it. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, truly. And here's the next thing that'll happen. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. This is the most abused, misunderstood verse of Scripture that you'll run across. I've heard people say, I'm free, and not have a clue what it means to be free in Jesus. If you're a disciple, you'll know the truth. That word know, it means to learn something through experience. To know something that you've acquired through experience. As I told you before, when I went to air traffic controller school, I learned how to be an air traffic controller when I begun to talk to airplanes. I also learned that if I did not apply the rules that they taught me throughout the time of schooling and even after school, if I did not apply the rules, guess what happened? Things got messy real quickly. I have learned in being a child of God that if I do not apply the rules, things get messy real quickly. That, my friends, is the truth. You see, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, I have discovered that there's one thing that is a fact. Jesus has never, ever, ever lied to me. Never. And when I'm filled with the truth, then the truth does, in fact, make you free. When he says, do this, he's doing it. He tells me that it's for my good and for his glory. When he says, don't do something, it's because it will harm me and it will harm those around me. That's the truth. You see, the problem is people, ever since the very beginning, have bought into the lie. The lie that Satan peddled in the Garden of Eden and is still peddling today. When he asked Eve, has God said you can't eat this? Oh, and God said don't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because if we do, we will surely die. Remember what Satan said? Oh, you won't die. You'll become like a god. And I've thought of that several times throughout my life, and I thought, you know, Satan's a liar. And he promises things he will not deliver. The truth is, Jesus has never lied to me. But the truth is also that Satan's lied to me plenty of times. And I've made some bad calls throughout my life. So the point to the truth making you free as you grow as a disciple, you discover that Jesus is the truth and Satan is a liar. And the sin that Satan makes to look so tempting, and he dangles in front of you, if you'll just do this one thing, you will be as God, as he said in the Garden of Eden. And then you do with that one thing, guess what happens? Life falls apart. When it says the truth will make you free, it's talking about being a slave of sin. And we read about that. I want to call your attention to verse 34 in closing. Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you what? Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin." That phrase, commit sin, we don't get the full effect of it. It literally means somebody that's living in sin. Doesn't mean that I won't, you know, stumble here and there. It's present tense. It's someone whose life right here, right now, is being based upon sin. The disciple of Jesus Christ does not have to live that way. I've often been amazed, and sometimes it's hard for me to hold my tongue. You would never imagine that, would you? I've been amazed that people can't see that their life is a result of the choices they have made. And I want to say, can't you? If you had not done this, you would not be here. Satan promised, "Oh, go ahead, cheat on your wife," and they're losing their family. Satan says, "Oh, go ahead, cheat and lie and be dishonest," and they're over here wondering why their life's a mess. I'll tell you why your life's a mess. Because whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You'll learn that in the Word of God also. Oh, listen. The freedom that Jesus is talking about is freedom that comes in knowing you don't have to live on the lies of the devil, but rather you can live in the glory of a Savior who will never lie to you. I'm free. That doesn't mean I'll be perfect from this point forward. That means that sin no longer, I'm no longer chained or captive of the sin that Satan throws out there. Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Number one, you gotta do the book work. Number two, you gotta apply it. And number three, you gotta realize that as you apply it, it's the best way. It is the truth. If you're here tonight, I want to share with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you say, "Brother Doug, you've got to say this." No, I don't. I say this out of absolute, complete conviction under the leadership of God. I believe that the best life that anyone can have is being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I believe with all my heart that things are better for me. No, I know things are better for me because I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And if you do not have that, if you're not a disciple, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, look around. I challenge you. Look around. Look around at your friends that are living according to the lie and take an evaluation on where they are. Watch them. I promise they're reaping. They will eventually reap what they sow. They may be in the stage of sowing right now, but listen, there always comes a harvest, and you always reap more than you sow. You always reap more than you sow. Why? Because that's the law of sowing and reaping. When I was being raised on a farm, my dad, he would plant a few seeds and he would pray for a big harvest, you know? Same thing is true in life. Challenge. Choose discipleship. Choose discipleship. It's a way of life, and it's a good way of life. Are you saved? If you're not saved, you choose discipleship, first of all, knowing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave His life upon the cross of Calvary to die, to take the punishment for your sins. That's the first step, to call upon Jesus and ask Him to save you. You begin that walk. Second step, you follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. If you've never been baptized, let me tell you, you're not following Jesus. Why? Because that's the first thing the Bible says the child of God, the disciple, does, is follow the Lord in scriptural baptism. Third thing, we study. We get into the Word of God. Get into a Sunday school class. Get into a weekly Bible study. Make sure that the Word of God is part of your daily diet. You can't apply it if you don't know it. So get in it. And then finally, let's apply it so the world can see how good our Savior Jesus Christ is. He is good. He is true. And He is faithful. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the opportunity to look into Your Word. We pray for Your guidance as we leave this place. Lord, we want to be Your disciples. We want to be such a disciple so the world can see You living through us. We want to be faithful in our study. We want to be faithful in our application. We want to be faithful, Lord, in everything. So, Lord, I pray now in this invitation, for those who need to respond, I pray that they'll respond. That they'll come to You for salvation, that they'll come to You for rededication. That, Lord, they will truly leave here being a disciple who is following You. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.